Mishlei Perek Tes Pasuk Yod Tchilas Chachma Yiras Hashem V'Das Kedoshim Bina. The beginning of Chachma, of any Chachma, comes Yiras Hashem. Meaning, obviously Chachma is a great thing in and of itself. To be able to have wisdom to understand how things go and the way things work is amazing. Without Yiras Hashem, then it could be bastardized. It could be taken in the wrong way, and people can use it in order to prove, so to speak, things that are not true within the realm of God. And therefore, Chachma has to have with it the Yiras Hashem V'Das Kedoshim Bina. The knowledge of holy matters allows one to have understanding. It's a very strange thing in of itself, but I think that means that Das Kedosha, when you learn holy things, that's when you get real Bina in this world. I don't know why that can't be done through other positions, if this is what the Pasuk means. If Das Kedoshim is Bina, and that's what it means, that Bina only comes through.
Up, like higher level, meaning understanding of God, and not necessarily understanding
of the world. That can't happen through other Chachmos. It only happens through here. That's definitely what it sounds like over here. But that seems to be amazing. Yiras Hashem is mentioned 18 times in Mishlei altogether. Obviously, the Gematria of Chai, because a person should try to live his life with Yiras Shemayim. But that's an interesting call in of itself. Ki bi yir b'yamachu b'sivil choshenos chayim, through me, your days will be increased, and there will be added to you the Shnos Chaim. Right, that's the idea behind it, that if a person devotes himself to following Yiras Hashem and doing everything he's supposed to do, then things will go well. And unfortunately, when not, when they don't do that, then things go badly. In Chochamto, Chochamto Loch. And if you're wise, it'll be good, better for you. You'll be wiser for yourself. Alatz to levad chatiso. But if you scorn, then you yourself are going to take it. If you are a scorner, there's not much else that's going to happen over here. If by your wisdom you make good decisions, great, that's considered wise. It'll be a credit to you, and it'll be good. But unfortunately, when a scorner is out there, people don't like the negativity. When they sit there and they hear the negativity in the world, they sit there and they're like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to talk to you. I don't have to deal with this right now. And because of that, that's a bad thing. You're going to sit by yourself. You're going to be alone when you have that suffering. Nobody's going to want to be with you. Your friends are not going to want to be with you. Then it says the following. Pasuk Yud Gimel is a very interesting line. Eshes Ksilus Omiya, the wife, the woman of foolishness, is a very loud woman. Pesayus Val Yodama, she's simple. She knows absolutely nothing. Now, if we depicted in the beginning of the parak, we depicted what Chachma is, the great woman who stands for Chachma, who does everything correct. Chachmos Bansa Besa, etc. Referring to the woman who is filled with great things over here. Aishas Ksilos is a loud person who knows that she has to overcome the little that she has by being extra loud and extra crazy. Cool. Correct.
So what does it mean loud?
No, Homia. Homia is in letting out her voice. That's what it refers to. Pesayus, she is simple. Uval Yadama, she doesn't really know anything. She's a person who doesn't have a depth to her whatsoever. There's this, what we call in Hebrew, a shitchius, like an outside understanding of how things work, but never anything deep for that.
It's not referring to a woman, it's referring to somebody who's married to Xilus. Somebody who is the wife of foolishness.
No, a woman of foolishness. Meaning
but
the same.
We're talking about Chachma in general as a concept, as a general concept, and then all we're talking about a specific woman who is.
Yeah, meaning because the way we said in Parakhes, we talked about the woman who sets her table and gets everything ready. We called Chachma as in a woman. And now, that was in Parakhes. In Parakhes, that took us all the way up to over here. And over here, we're saying Eshes Ksilus. There's the opposite end. The opposite end is the
right,
woman of
that,
foolishness.
Then you're saying you're like limiting this to women. If you say that this is
No. It, just because Chachma, right, was referring to a feminine term, that's why they call it over here as well. But
I
that's
think
all
it
refers
could be read as Eshes Ksilus, the wife of, meaning somebody who's married to Ksilus, Homia Pterodama, he doesn't, or she, meaning the person married to Xilus who doesn't focus on Torah or anything, doesn't know
the
anything.
Guy you're saying?
Like anybody, meaning any individual,
look at
is referring to him as a wife.
Look at the next pasuk. It says, V'yoshva l'pasach beisa. She sits outside her house. Al-kisei merom ekaris, on a seat in the
right.
High places of the city.
I mean, it could also be just like, I mean, it doesn't make that much different than what
you're
saying.
This is a contrast in Parakhes,
right,
where she was also sitting in that certain area, calling out to the passerby, asking her to come by. Again, it's the contrast from what we had of the woman of Chachma to the woman of Ksilus.
Okay.
That's the idea behind it. But it's represented, I think, by Isha, only simply put, not because there's a what, obviously there's the wise woman and the foolish woman, right? But it refers to the same same thing that we've been going with, that there was this zona that we refer to over here that represents
the
Yetzer Hara.
Saying, that somebody who's consorting with these foolish ideas, or the meaning the person who is... Okay. Not referring to somebody who's dabbling in them, referring to somebody who's consorting with them.
Again, but the Zona was still a Zona. There was a guy that was walking outside of the Zona's house, but the Zona was still referring to a woman. So throughout, we're going to see that the Yetzer Hara is being depicted as this woman. Not only Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Tov as well. So in Perek Zayin, we had the Yetzer Hara being that Zona that you walked by your house back and forth. In Perek Ches, we started off with the Chochma being that woman, right, filled with wisdom, the Yetzer Tov. Now we're going back to the Yetzer Hara. She sits outside of her house. Here it says, LePasach Besa. Instead of the last one, the Isha Chochma, who was sitting right inside her house, this is a woman sitting outside of the house, in the opening of the house, allowing everyone to see her. Likrulo Ovridar, she calls out to the passerby, and Yasho Sorchosam, who are going right in their ways. They're straight-headed. They're going in the right direction. The people doing right. Mipes Yosorena. Hey, if you're simple, if you're an idiot, come here. I'd like you to turn to me. Hey, the Chasser Lev. Somebody who... Yeah, somebody who's missing their hearts. But Amrla, she's going to say to him the following. Now again, this same thing was said by the Isha Chochma. She also called out the simple. But she said, come, O simple ones, so I can teach you wisdom. This is, come, O simple ones, because you'll fall into my trap. Mayin genuvim yimtaku. This is the famous line that we all know. The sweet, stolen waters are the sweetest. V'lechem sestarim yinom. And bread eaten in secret when other people don't know about it is the most pleasant. Chazal tell us, and when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, although Shlomo Melech is obviously dealing with when the Beis HaMikdash was there, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it became, there was no sweetness to the fruits anymore. They lost, there was a metikus. I tell this story over all the time. I think it's one of my favorite stories. I once spoke for a certain organization, and they gave me, there was something that they sent me. It was like this box filled with pears from somewhere in
from
South
New
America.
Zealand.
No, it's South America.
Oh, but, it had
oh yeah, from there?
From New Zealand,
so I sat there and I took them. I was like, what in the world am I going to do with them? Because I was so upset. I'm like, I'm never speaking to this organization ever again. And then I had one and it was literally it was sweeter than candy. I ate four of them like right there. There were only like six in the box. I ate four of them right there. I thought I was going to die after the four. It was like eating like five Krispy Kreme donuts, which literally should kill you. They were the sweetest things I've ever had in my life. That sweetness of the fruit, it was the only thing. I revert back to it when I talk about the sweetness that was there in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, say Chazal, the only time you feel that sweetness, that ultimate taste that the Beis HaMikdash had, it's Mayim Genuvim. It's when something happens in a bad way. When there's stolen waters, that's when it becomes sweet. That's where it goes to. And Chazal also brings down over here the Mayim Genuvim and the Lechem Starim is referring to relations in an illicit manner. That becomes something that people want to have. And it's a drive, a desire when it comes down to it, which is unfortunate. But that's the
there's
way people look at it.
Like
is there?
Forbidden fruit always tastes better.
This is where it's from.
Right, yeah.
Oh, the forbidden fruit, yeah. Below Yadaki, Rephaim Sham. They don't know that. And here's an interesting one. Rephaim are referring to the giants. In Parshas Lech Lecha Vayera, we're referred to these huge giants that were living in the world of Avramino. Avramino is going to take over the land of the Rephaim in the Brisbane of Asarim, right? But that's not what it means over here. Lo Yadaki, Rephaim Sham. He doesn't know the person who's being caught by this woman of folly that there's death there. That there's giants of Tuma there. The guests that go to her house stay in the grave forever. And that's what happens. Although we think, what's the big deal? I see this woman, I can go into her house, and again, it's metaphorical, but I go into this house that's filled with Tuma, what's the big deal if I go inside there? No, the pshat is that everything inside is broken down and disgusting and destroyed. That's why she sits outside to try to get people in, because she knows he has nothing. And the idea is that when another religion tries to grab us and take this in, they know that inside everything is garbage. But the outside seems great. The outside seems like it's really good. So they try to get us by doing the things on the outside so that we're fooled by it. Before we come into the inside and realize, oh, it's filled with garbage on the inside.
Those who are actually trying to get people don't actually believe in what they're doing.
I think they do, but I also think they know the hypocrisies that are there. So
I think that they've reconciled it. Yesterday, I was listening to Christian radio. I was driving in Michigan, and I was curious to hear. It was two Messianic rabbis.
Do you need Torah tapes?
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
But like, you know, yeah, obviously I'm coming from a perspective, but what they were, I mean, they really seem to believe
I'm totally okay with that. I'm saying when they're going in,
well,
right?
Not if, Jews,
if there
I'm
are people
okay
out there, if there are people that's funny. But when they're going out there, I think they do know that deep down inside There's a lot of questions. I would have a lot of questions. I hear, even in Judaism itself, I have a lot of questions. Baruch Hashem, right? But nonetheless, I think by us, there are more answers than questions. Perhaps they feel the same way about themselves. But what he's saying over here is that when it comes to this religion trying to grab you, called the Yetzirah that tries to grab you, they know there's no inside to what they're doing. It's just the outside. The pleasure in Olam Hazen.
They had an ad. You can go online and order the CD of the 10 proofs of all the things being true, and it's all real. And you would love this. Scientific proofs, archaeological proofs, historical proofs.
Why would I love that?
They went because of the science that is exactly the same science that you believe in. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that, like, it was interesting.
Let's go.
It was interesting to...
I understand. So the wicked, they go on and they get into, you know, the hatred and the strife that go around here. So because of that, when we deal with Rishayim, right, we're going to have to try to see there may be something that we can shun away from them.
Sorry about that.
So we go... It's okay. Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph, it says Mishle Shlomo. So we've already gone into the beginning of Mishle, but we have more Mishalim of Shlomo. Most of what we've done over the last four Prakim have been dealing with this evil woman or proper woman that deals with the Yetzer Hara. But now we have Ben Chocham Yisamach Av. A wise son makes a father very, very glad. Ben Ksil Tugasimo. Yet a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now listen to that. The wise son doesn't make his mother happy. The foolish son doesn't make his father sad. Well, what does that mean? Why is it specifically there? It could be that a wise son discerns wisdom, discerns wisdom more than a mother does. But a mother is more perceptive of who is a folly, who is a fool, and she grieves more over that. I'm not so sure. Maybe the mother is able to see a little bit further inside the son than anybody else is. But the idea is that if the mother is in charge of the household, which she was for years and years and years, that she was in charge of all the households there, then the Ben Ksil, the son who is a fool, shows the mother's shame. You didn't raise him correctly. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. You had a job, and it was to raise this child properly, and you didn't do it. So that's the sadness of the mother. I didn't do my job. As for the father is supposed to teach him higher wisdoms, how to do certain jobs, how to teach him how to be in this world, etc., things like that, like when he gets a little older. Ben Chacham Yisamach Av, the father sits there and he says, oh, this was my job, and I did it well. I have a Ben Chacham. I have something like that. So it's possible that that's the idea behind it.
It says the son will spend time in the study hall with his father.
And that's Ben Chacham, while the foolish son spends time home with the mother. That makes sense also, right? Lo Yo Ilu. Oh, so Chazal said this referring to Yitzchak and Yishmael. I don't know why specifically Yishmael, because Yishmael does not seem to be a Ben Ksil at any point in Tanakh. We don't see him as that. We definitely did Tshuva toward the end of his life. But Chazal, the Medrash says that it refers to Yishmael.
What's the translation of Tugat Imo?
Tuga is sadness. It's related to the word ugov, which is like that tuba thing, that the whatever it is. But tugasimo is sadness. Lo yuilotzros resha. All the treasures that the Russia has, they're never going to help him. Tzedakah tatzil mimavas. However, the tzedakah that he gives will save him from death. Like for anybody who wins $1.6 billion in the lottery. If a person gets 1.5 what?
3.7.
Tzedakah tatzil mimavas will be able to save the person from absolute death. We have many, many midrashim about tzedakah tatzil mimavas. Some of the greatest ones with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was told by the stargazer, says the Gemara on Shabbos, that his daughter was going to die on the day of her wedding. On the day of his wedding, the day of her wedding, he was really, really sad, Rabbi Akiva, though everybody was happy. The next morning, he comes into the house, he sees she's alive. She takes out a brooch from the side of the wall, and the pin, the needle that she had inside the wall, there was a snake, a poisonous snake that was pierced in the eye that killed the snake. So he said, what did you do? He said, yesterday at the wedding, there was an old man who was very, very poor. Nobody was taking care of him. So I went over and I gave him my meal and I sat him down in my seat. Rabbi Kiva Darshan, Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavas. Right? But that concept does not really need a proof.
Well, I would need a darshan,
understand the idea. Yeah, right. Didn't think of that.
Applying the pasuk.
That's very good. Situation. Applying the pasuk. That's good. Lo yariv Hashem nefesh tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let the nefesh of the tzadik become hungry. V'havas rishayim yadof. But the cravings, the desires of the wicked are pushed away. They're pushed away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be referring to in this world, but we don't normally see that, where not all the desires of the tzadik are fulfilled, but quite often the Russia was there. It is a very, very interesting line. But there is a maisa that's brought down over here that I like, that the Miyam always brings. He says, in the Yeshiva Maral Miprag, there was one student who was very, very poor. He, unfortunately, gave into his temptation. He was robbing people's homes and taking their money. One early morning, he heard the Maral talking about a certain pasuk in the Torah, whether it's Lo Signovu or whatever it was, and he said, if you steal from another, obviously, that's not going to take away from the victim. The victim was supposed to lose that money, right? So if that victim lost money, it's not because that he stole it from him. It's that Hashem decreed that he wasn't supposed to have that money. But the person who stole took things in an improper way. Had they trusted in Hashem, they would have gotten the money anyway. But because he didn't trust Hashem, he took it in an asurdik way, took it in an asurdik fashion.
Wait, but that's saying that anybody who is a robber, if he decides, I'm not going to rob, he'll get the money anyway?
That's what the Maral was darshaning, and saying he would have gotten it instead, but because he stole, he's going to be punished for the stealing and lose it anyway. That's what the Maral was saying. So the student heard it, and he wanted to listen to it, but unfortunately, Zitzar was strong. So he did. He broke into another house. He was taking a bunch of stuff, and while he was taking it, the Maral's words came back to him. He said, that stuff would have been yours anyway. So he's sitting there, and he said, forget it, I'm not going to do it. As he was leaving, he was going out through the window, he saw a certain basket that had all these great fruits, apples, oranges, and he said to himself, he said, what if I just take one of these fruits? It's not that big of a deal, and for sure it won't even be missed. What's the big deal? So it might have been, right? So he said, yeah, by the Maral. So he said, maybe I should take this. And he overcame his yetzer hara, ran out of the house without taking anything whatsoever, and he was proud, even though obviously he still did something wrong, but he was very proud of what he had done, and that's that. The next day, a widow came into the Maral Miprag's yeshiva and said, you should know, last night, thieves broke into my home. They didn't steal anything, but I was very, very afraid. She said, I need to get married. I was, widowed not too long ago, but I need to get remarried. I need somebody in the house to protect me from anybody that might come by. So the Maral said, I have a person for you. I have the perfect person for you, a person who's been looking for a shidduch, who really needs to settle down. He took this Talmud, right, and he said, I found the right woman for you. I guess they agreed to the shidduch. I'm assuming they dated zero times, right? They agreed to the shidduch, right? And they ended up getting engaged. For the engagement party, which was obviously that night, come on, right? How many dates do you need? So the engagement party that night, she brought out the basket of fruits and gave it to him and said, take whatever you want. To which he said, let me tell you, it's enough, obviously. But that's the idea behind it. So he looked to the Maral and he said, obviously it's that. And I think that's what he's trying to say from this passage.
How did you guys marry
this guy? Even, let's say he stole. Like, she'd go to Kennington, like, somebody came and stole all my stuff last night. Don't worry, I got a perfect guy for you. And I'd be the same guy. And then...
It never would have happened. Hashem would have put another name into the Maral's mind. Either way, regardless.
Do you want to plan on robbing a bank tomorrow? We'll just plan on it, but then we'll fire against
and then
the
actually do it.
And not do it.
Right. And then you'll get, should have done that before the Oh, Powerball.
You still get punished. Powerball. You still get punished for all the stuff that he did steal, though.
I would assume so. Yeah, for sure. Unless he paid it back in somehow. But
yeah. In Pirkei Avos, when they saw the skull in the water, he said, you drown people, so someone drowned you.
Yeah, I'll be
okay. Yeah, 100%.
There's no question he's going to be punished. But at least he got fruit. He got fruit out of it.
He got married out of
it. Yeah. Worked out well. Pasuk Daled. Rosh oise kaframia. A sly hand. Kaframia means a sly hand causes a person to become poor. Yad karutz in tashir, but the hand of a person who is diligent, a person who is honest and energetic, that person is going to become rich. I think the idea is that if in business, if you're known as the guy who's deceptive, people won't want to do business with you. So you might make a quick buck here and there. But in the end, nobody wants to be around you. But people who sit there and they're mamish, like they're trying to be as yashar as possible, people want to do work with you. So even if at first you don't succeed, don't worry, it's going to happen in the end. It also goes when it comes to learning. Those who are sitting there just to learn, just to boast of their knowledge or give it over, and say like, look what I know, those guys are not going to be successful. If you do it because you genuinely want to know everything, then you're going to be successful. That's the idea behind it. The author of the Akedah, the Bala Akedah, says, the Akedah is Akedah Sitzchok is a great sefer on Chumash. He says that there's a Gemara that says that if you have a coin in a bucket, right, kish kish karya, it makes a loud noise. The reason why is because coins don't belong in buckets. Coins belong in leather purses, leather pouches, in a wallet, where it's not going to make a noise. When it's in the wrong place, that's when it makes a noise over here. So that's the idea behind it. If it's not in the natural place, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, that's the kaframia, then rush, I'll say, it's going to make a noise. But yachrutzim tashir, you become rich when you have it in the right place, doing the right thing. Oger b'kayitz bein maskil, a guy who stores things in the summer, that's a wise son. Near the makatzer, if you sleep at the time when everybody else is reaping, bein mevish, that's a child who obviously is not there. You don't need that already. We already spoke about the ant. that teaches the Atzel what to do. This is a rehash of that. Brachos l'Rosh Tzadik, blessings upon the head of the Tzadik. Yerushalmi chasa chamas. The mouth of the Rishayim, the mouth of the wicked, conceals the violence that he actually did. The mouth of the Rasha goes out loud and he says everything he's done. Let me tell you about what I've done and what I'm able to do. But brachos l'Rosh Tzadik, the Tzadik who sits alone and doesn't tell anybody what he does, he's quiet about what he does, brachos are heaped upon him. What a person. That's the idea behind it. So too with the amount that the guy davens for. Listen, one thing that no one will ever be able to know is whether you davened for them or not. If you daven for someone else, for whatever it is that that person needs, no one will ever know but you and Hashem, unless you go around telling people, unless you say something to other people. That's what means brachos l'Rosh Tzadik. For the head of a tzaddik that does such things, that's amazing. And unfortunately, by Rishayim, it's the other way. Zecher tzaddik lebracha. Whenever you remember a tzaddik, you do it for bracha. B'shem Rishayim Yerkav. The name of the Rishayim should always be mentioned in rat. What that means in simplistic terms is that you should, you know, whenever you mention a tzaddik, you should mention him for bracha. When you mention a Rasha, you don't. There's a Maimer Chazal that I'm speaking about this week about Avram Vinu. That when Avram Vinu said, Avram Asher Ani Yosef, when Hashem said, should I hide from Avram what I'm going to do with Sodom? Right? He said, Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Tzadik. He's going to be like this great nation. From there, Chazal says, Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha. The Medrash says, Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha applies to this. So what does that mean? So it said by Rashi, Rashi really mentions it, but it's brought down by other Maimonides Chazal as well, right? That means that every time you mention a tzaddik, right, you have to give him a bracha. You have to give him a bracha because such a person in this world. So you know what's interesting? Says the Torah to me, Rabbi Baruch Epstein, why in the world do we only say Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha by someone who died? You say it by people who are alive.
Well, they're not Zecher.
I'm sorry?
It's not a Zecher. They're still around.
No, but you remember the tzaddik. You mention a tzaddik's name. He's not here right now. Ruchaim Kanievsky isn't here right now, but I should say Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha. I remember the tzaddik, I should use it as a bracha. And not only that, he says, I should give an actual bracha. Why do we just say zatzal? You should say zatzal, that he should be blessed with tremendous whatever.
Well,
why do you do that?
So,
it's Torah Tumima says, the Yemenites do that. The Yemenites, they had a minug, Teimani had a minug, that they would say zecher tzaddik lebracha by every tzaddik they would mention who was alive. And then they would give him a bracha. I can't believe this is 120 years ago. Rabbi Baruch Epstein.
They say it, but they say it in a different way.
What do they say? What do you mean?
I can't remember like the exact words, but they say that they should like live and continue to be like well and blessed or something.
Okay, as long as it's something. That's the point. Yeah.
Epstein even know what's going on in the Yemenites. He lived in
Europe,
Eastern Europe. And this was before there was this.
He was a guy that knew a lot. Tosefis Bracha is one of the most interesting Sfarim I've ever learned. He has a lot of essays on the weirdest things in the world. He might have heard from a traveler. So he might have heard from someone that's that. He also quoted two Sfarim. I don't remember the name. So correct. All the way. But there were two Sfarim that he quoted that also said there was a Shilas Achuvas where he quoted somebody, I can't remember who, in which they threw a guy in Cherem for mentioning a tzaddik's name and not giving a bracha afterward. They threw in Cherem. I don't know. He quoted a sefer. And I was like, oh my gosh. There was a bunch. He mentioned a bunch, but he said he doesn't know where our minute came
from. Who are we to determine who is a tzaddik and who is a rasha? How do we know? Somebody who we look at and say, like, wow, that's a tzaddik, or somebody who's a horrible rasha. You don't know what is going on. God knows.
Yeah, you're right. So maybe you should just bless everybody out of a suffix. That's a great call. I guess there are certain people that you know are Rishayim. Like, would you say Hitler Yimach Shemo is a Rasha?
Right, okay. Maybe.
Okay, so there you go, Yimach Shemo.
Sometimes people... No, you're right.
Don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. That's what you're saying?
Like,
I agree.
There's, like, objective evil, and then there's, like everything else.
Somebody
who's a murderer, like, that's...
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Total sense. You'd say it for as many people as you can.
And what is the definition of Rasha, then? What is the Torah's definition of a Rasha? What makes somebody a Rasha? Nobody's perfect, everyone has a bear. So
there's
what?
No Gemara on that. The Gemara talks about a person who's an Amaretz. An Amaretz is a guy who doesn't put on his tefillin, doesn't say Shema.
He's not a Rasha.
I know. So a Rasha is even worse. So it's like, an Amaretz is a person who doesn't put on tefillin, doesn't say Shema, is not Meshamesh Tomidei Chachamim.
Those are
Amaretz.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not doing his mitzvah.
His observances. Like,
yeah. He's not doing certain things. Yeah, if that's an Amaretz, then I would assume Russia is worse.
It's worse than that. But don't do this. Some people, I don't know, somebody doesn't keep kosher. Does that make him a Russia?
I don't know. Because out of taiva, no, we don't. Oh, that's very good. Let's go halachically speaking. A rasha is a person that you're not allowed to do certain things for. A rasha, by definition, is a person who's a mumer lahachis. That's a mishnah brura.
There's also a gemara, right?
For sure.
Based
it is.
On a gemara.
For sure, it is somewhere.
But that's.
Poshi is sort of a
no, but he's saying somebody who's an any avera, meaning.
I don't know.
Why not? What's the difference? An avera is avera.
No, I know, but some averas are obviously worse than other averas.
Yeah, well, when it boils down to if you're doing lahachis, it doesn't matter.
We'd have to know. But you Rosh Hashanah Yir Chasim
Al. So somebody who I don't know eats cheeseburger lahachis versus somebody who murders because he has a taiva to murder people, which is worse. I mean, you're telling the guy who's
yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. Rosh Hashanah Yir Chasim Al goes into this. Also Tezayin Mabez with the whole thing Rishayim Gemurin. But where does it say a Gemara where it says Ezu Rasha Gemur? That's what we're looking for. Ezu Rasha. We're looking for a Gemara like that. I don't know. And even then, how do we know that that's how we pass him? Halacha, I would assume it goes by the halacha itself, but you're right. That is strange. A guy who murders or is together with another person's wife, letaiva, is better than a guy who doesn't put on tefillin one morning, lahachas. That's strange.
Would that apply to an assay versus a low assay? Because don't put on tefillin as provides on assay.
Good call. I don't know.
Somebody eats cheeseburgers, lahachas.
The reason why I chose not putting on tefillin is because that's the Gemara Yirches. Poshe Yisrael Begufan, who don't come out again Gehenna ever, is a person who didn't put on tefillin once in his life. That's called the karkafta de lo marach tefillin. You ever see these Chabad kids trying to put on tefillin?
Right.
They're trying to find karkaftas. Karkaftas are people that never put on tefillin before in their lives.
Yeah, but that reminds me of... That's a little bit reminiscent of Christianity, which is like, if you don't believe, no matter how good of a person you are, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't go to Olam Haba.
Yeah, you got to take it with a certain measure. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. We'd have to find a Gemara like that. The last thing is, Zecher Tzadik Baruch Shem Rishon Lerkov, you should name for a tzaddik, but not after a rasha. Don't name after a rasha. If a person considered a rasha. Now, that already is a shiloh, right? I had a shiloh, naming one of my children after a person who passed away at a young age through something that was bad. Am I allowed to do that? So I did, because it was a friend of mine, but I named
add a name.
Him. I added a name. I gave a different name, so it wasn't exactly the same name. I couldn't do that name anyway, but like, so I did it on that and that way. But Rishayim Rishayim Yerkov, was he a Russia? I can't tell you he was a Russia, right? But he lived a hard life and whatever it is, so like, whether or not, that's, you know, that's a very difficult thing to worry about.
Also, I mean, there's a lot of literature, more I think, in Sephardic books about giving certain names.
Yeah.
And they talk about, like, you know, people in Israel today are named Nimrod. Yeah. It was Russia. You can't give that name.
Right. It really stems from a Pnei Yoshua in Ksuvis and the Ayin Zayin, where he talks about Rebbe Yishmol, where he says, how could anybody be named Rebbe
Yishmol?
Well,
there's a bunch of answers for that. Hashem named him. Yishmael is like an Ishmael. It's like a nice
name. No. Hashem named Yishmael.
Right. Hashem named Yishmael.
That's Pnei Yoshua's answer. Yeah.
There's, like, I've heard different answers. There's also that... Hashem's
he did Shuvah at the end of his life.
The idea is Yishmael. It's a nice concept.
And Hashem should listen.
And then he
very
did
good.
Shuvah's other answer.
Very, very good.
Apparently,
so
nowadays,
that.
Though, it's not a good name to give.
We don't give it. There are other names out there. You know, Nimrod is a good one. Nimrod is a strange one. So strange.
My cousin named his son. His father was Yitzhak.
Azmavet?
We talked. It was in. What did we learn before this?
Azmavet.
Yeah.
Oh, we had that here.
Azmavet.
We had it.
What were we learning?
No, we had it in Divrei Yamin. Divrei Yamin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Azmavet.
We were like trying to figure out names. I was like,
my cousin.
A great name for a kid.
His second cousin.
His
father's name is Yitzhak. And so he wanted to, you know, it was like traditional, so he wanted to keep the name. But Yitzhak's not like a cool, you know, new name.
Yeah.
So he named his son Nimrod Yitzhak.
Did he know what it means? Why would you name your kid Rebellion? He knows Hebrew. Why do you name your kid Rebel?
Because that's a popular name in Israel. It's a trendy name.
I hear you, but like, they know what it means. Why would you do that? Like, I just don't get it. Like, if I knew what the name meant, I wouldn't name my kid that way.
Because it wasn't part of the Chidon
HaTanach.
Yeah. No, but Mered, you know what that means. I hope the kid becomes from. Anyway, Patzach Ches. Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvos. A person who's wise, he'll grab mitzvos for himself. The Evel Sfasayim Yilavet. But somebody who's foolish, right? His lips are weary because he keeps talking about himself more and more and more and more. Holach Batom Yilech Batach. A guy who walks in the straight path with integrity, right? He's going to walk assuredly. Ma'akesh Rochav Yivadeya. A guy who goes around, perverts his ways, that guy's going to be known by everybody. Everybody will know what this guy does. They'll stay away from him. Koritain Yitin Oves. A guy who winks an eye causes sorrow wherever he goes. The Evel Sfasayim Yilavet. And again, the guy who keeps talking, whatever it is, he's just going to become weary. I find it very... Is it ironic? Is that the right word for it? that the same word Evel Sfosayim Milaved is mentioned twice. To like weary your lips by saying the same words over and over again.
Yeah, but Evel and Yelaved are different words. So they're have different meanings.
No, meaning over here in Pasuk Ches, Evel Sfosayim Milaved. It's the same words.
It's the same. Oh,
it's like repeating it. So like, yeah. I think it's like kind of ironic that like we're saying the same thing over. It's like it's kind of because you just keep saying it.
Usually has a sense of humor.
One after the other. I thought it was pretty funny. Mekor Chayim Pi Tzadik, the source of life. Is the mouth of a tzaddik, meaning looking at that. The Ben Ish Chai says in one of his farm, in Od Yosef Chai, I think it is, on Chumash, that a person should look at the lips of a Rav when he is talking. Look at the lips of the Rav, not at the face, just at the lips, and that's how you remember something better. It's always better to say it yourself, to repeat it back to yourself, but if you want to remember something, you look at the lips, that's how you remember it. If you're a Shai Michas HaChamas, the mouth of the wicked, they conceal the violence they did. As we said above, Amamish, it's the same words. I don't understand why it's repeated. Sina Torah Medanim, hatred allows there to be fights, awakens fights. But love will cover up any transgressions that there ends up being over here when a person has that. Listen, I think one of the sappiest endings to like everything is when you deal with love. What's that book, A Wrinkle in Time? Right, where everything is like with love, you can defeat all. Have you ever read that?
Yeah, Langel. I just saw the movie. It's horrible.
I'm not expecting to see the movie.
The book is like so much.
The book is awesome.
The movie's terrible.
You ever read it? It's a highly touted book. Have you read
it's
it?
A good NRA con. Yeah. It's a good book.
No, it's a really good book. It's a really good book. The love covers all transgressions. It really comes from over here. So this is an interesting one over here. I don't fully understand this, that there's hatred all over. But when it comes to this hatred, whatever it is, that's I don't know if this actually happened, but the Tsar supposedly met with the Vilna Gaon and said, why don't the Jewish people have a land of their own? And he said, it's because of Sinas Chinam, because we hate each other. And the Tsar said, I don't see that by you. I don't see the Jews hating each other. I see the Jews hating other people, but I don't see the Jews hating each other. So the Gaon says, the Sultan still danced among us, but the Tsar wasn't happy with that answer. One time the Tsar was hunting, a downpour came, he had to seek shelter. He ended up getting shelter by a certain Jew, right? The guy who was inside realized he had the Tsar. He said, please, your majesty, I'll take you wherever you need to go. Took him in his wagon to wherever he needed to go. He came to a certain city, right? You weren't allowed to go inside that city with a wagon. So the Jew stopped, and the Tsar said, go on, you don't have to worry about anything, because I'm here with you. The Jew saw, right, that right over there. So the Tsar said, because you helped me and you brought me in, etc., tell me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you, right? So the guy said, your majesty, there is a person who lives in the forest right next to mine who runs a business that's contrary to me. If you take down that guy and allow me to have both sides of the forest, I'll be the happiest man in the world. And the Tsar was like, you could have asked me for anything. You could have asked me to never work in a forest ever again, and I would have given it to you. And instead you're asking me to knock down your brother. I know what the Gaon meant now when he said that there's Sinas Chinam among the Jews. I doubt it was the Tsar, but whoever it was that saw it, it makes sense. The lips of understanding, you can find wisdom. But a rod for the back who doesn't have a heart, who doesn't know what he's doing over here. Legave is 39. So 39 lashes for a person who does something bad. Pasuk Yudalit says, wise men store up their knowledge via vil mechita krova, but the mouth of the foolish brings ruin close to a person. Hon Asher Kiryat Uzo, a man's wealth, a rich man's wealth, is his Kiryat Uzo. It's his fortified city. Mechitas Dalim, the poverty of the poor, Reisham, that is their ruin. That's what ends up knocking them down. What that means is, the rich man's wealth is the fortified city. His friends, his associates, the people around him, right? But the poverty of the poor is that no one comes to help them. They have no one to help them when there's something bad that goes on over there. That's the idea. Poverty of the poor causes you to become even worse. The wealth that a person has helps him get whatever he needs if he has that idea. Obviously, it could be true by Torah study as well. If you are wealthy and you're learning and you know tons of things, you have the ability to understand things that might be unclear to others. But if you're poor in your wealth of understanding, if you don't know how to deal with other things and you look at something, you have no clue what's going on because you don't have everything right there. That's the idea behind it. And Pasuk Tez Zayin, Pul Zadik L'chaim, everything that Tzadik does is for life. Tuas Roshah L'chatas. But the grain, the produce of the wicked is obviously for just sin, and that's that. Orech L'chaim Shomer Musar, a guy who listens to Musar, that's the way of life. But Ozev Tochachas Maseh, one who forsakes the Tochacha of others, is going to go astray. And we talked about this before, that obviously you should never go away from somebody who gives Musar. Try to always work on somebody who gives Musar itself. Man. Pasuk Yechaz, don't worry. Chasesina, one who conceals the hatred, sifsei shaker, he has lying lips. Right, he's lying lips. He's speaking outside and he's trying to be all nice and everything, but he's not saying it the right way. Moti diva uksil. But if you end up talking too much, you're a fool. Telling over lies, lashon hara, getting over and such things. There's nothing worse than a guy who just loves telling lashon hara, who just wants to do stuff like that. There's nothing worse than that. He's ruining people's lives and doing things. And that's the problem. That is the problem right there. Barov domen leyachto pesha. If you speak a lot, there's no way you'll get away from sin. Of course you're going to sin. Somebody who restrains his lips will be enlightened. He's going to be smart. That's a very, very smart person. Listen, it's the end of Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph. At the end, he says, Ein tov l'adam el'shtika. Right? That's what Rabbi Shimon said. Right? He said, Ein tov l'adam el'shtika.
A lot of this just sounds like Pirkei Avos.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Pirkei Avos really must be based on. Kesef nimchar l'shon tzadik. The tongue of the righteous one is like choice silver. The lev rishayim kimat. The heart of the rishayim is worth absolutely nothing. Right? It's silver. You know, you have like a tremendous amount of riches versus nothing. Right? That's the idea behind it. Some say the more the tzaddik is tested, the more choice he is. The more things happen to him than what he goes through. I was just at a Sudas Odal right before I came here. The kid was on a bike, going to the mikvah, no less, on a Friday afternoon. He got nailed by a car, hit by a car. Guy was unfortunately entirely at fault. Was caught by the Yeshurun cameras, right? By the Yeshurun outer cameras. He flew about 25 feet, right? And unfortunately got a huge bruise on him, but Baruch Hashem, everything was fine. He just had a Sudas Odal tonight, 16 years old, 15 years old, 25 feet. You have to see the video. You can't believe the kid is alive. You have to see how hard he was hit and what happened. But the kid, so I spoke that I visited. I'm sorry? No, non-Jew.
Was he wearing a helmet?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. So I visited him when he was in the hospital. He was a kid in the Shul, Silverberg, Rabbi Silverberg's son. So I visit him in the hospital. His name is Meir Simcha. I walk in. The kid is like the happiest kid alive. This guy has like a huge smile on his face. He's like, oh, thank you so much for coming. I'm like, oh my gosh. He's more cheerful than I am. He was like the happiest kid of all time. So I think that's the idea behind it. The more that a tzaddik gets tested, the more he's like silver. The more you get rid of the dross, the shine comes from within. It becomes real refined silver. You can get more and more there. That's by a tzaddik. By a rush, however, you take off the outer layer. All you get is the rotting inside. That's what you get. Sifte tzaddik yir rabim. The lips of the righteous can feed many. But the evil people, they were without anything. They just sit and die. Because the brach of Hashem will make one rich. He will never have any more sorrow with it. He'll never be sad because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with him. There's that hashkacha pratis that's with him. Kiskok l'schil ose zima. We say, aso zima, those who do evil, right? It's like laughter. It's like his frivolity for the fool. The chachma l'ish tivuna. Wisdom is for the man of understanding. The same way that the fool loves making jokes and cracking jokes and making fun of other people, etc., that's how the chacham loves to understand things a little bit further. Megoras Rashi Yituvenu, what the wicked one dreads will come upon him. Taiva the tzaddikim yitain, and eventually the taiva of the tzaddikim will be given over to him. Now here's the pshat. If a tzaddik davens that he should win the lottery and win $1.6 billion, the likelihood is he's not going to win. And the reason why is pretty obvious to me. Why should he win $1.6 billion? That might not be what he's in store for. The tzaddik has to be realistic with his expectations of what he's going to win. If he says, listen, I could use X amount of dollars, and he goes and he plays the lottery and wins that amount of money, that makes sense, right? That would be something that a tzaddik could get, right? But to win 1.6, what are you going to do with that money? I'm just giving that as an example. But the reason, taiva tzaddik can be attained, but megoras rashi yitavuenu, all he's thinking the whole time is maybe I'll get caught, maybe something will happen.
What could he do with his money? Maybe he needs, you know, a couple $100,000, but if he's a big tzaddik, he'll give a lot of money to tzedakah.
See, that's the line. And if that would happen, and you're right, right? Obviously, that would be something that Kadosh Baruch would give him. It would happen in some crazy way where he bought a lottery ticket, somebody gets it for him, whatever it is. That would be in some crazy way. I find that's how it would have to be looked at. In other words, the tzaddik doesn't have to do extra ishtablus. To do the ishtablus of going and buying a lottery ticket. If Hashem wants me to win, he wants me to win. Right? But to go around there. I did buy a lot of Mega Millions ticket, right? I did. I bought one together with another rabbi, Rabbi Kraft over there. We bought one together. We said we'll share. We even had a contract written up. We each gave each other a dollar in our bank account so we'd be partners and whatever it was, right? And I told somebody afterward, I said, I don't want to win the Mega Millions. I want to win a million. Because that's something you still win if you have five numbers. You just don't have the power. So I'm like, that would be also awesome. It's okay. I didn't win any of the numbers. Not one. So it worked out well. right?
But nonetheless, you would have gotten your money back, $2 back.
That would have been awesome. Kavor Sufa Vein Rasha, when the storm passes, right? All of a sudden, the wicked one is no longer. Right, but tzaddik yisod olam. But the tzaddik is the yisod of the world itself. Lots of lines from this itself. You see tzaddik yisod olam. They say that the tzaddik is the reason why there's food in the world and parnas in the world. Yosef tzaddik was known as the tzaddik yisod olam. That's why he was able to be mashbir the entire world, give over the entire world. That's also why yisod, for those who are sparty inclined, right? When you go into those, Yosef is the yisod. You say that Avram is chesed and Yitzchak is gevura and Yaakov is tiferes and Moshe is netzach and Aaron is hod. Yosef is Yisod, even though it's out of order. But Yosef is the Yisod Olam, he's the foundation. There's more to it than what I understand, right? But that's the idea behind it.
There was a great video of the Lubavitch Rebbe. I don't know if you saw this. Somebody asked him, he said he won the lottery. He didn't say how much in the video. But he wants them to just keep playing lottery. So Lubavitch Rebbe said to him, yes, but buy one ticket.
That's very good. That's very good.
I don't. It would be really cool. And if you won the lottery,
what would happen?
No, if you won a second time.
In the very beginning of the puzzle, guys, Kavor Suva Vein Rasha, this storm.
What?
An evildoer lives like a storm wind, like raging with thunder and lightning to oppress everybody around him, and things are great, and then all of a sudden there's the calm, right? And then he storms up again. That's the way the Rasha lives his life. A lazy messenger is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. You ever had vinegar? You ever had vinegar as like medicine, right? It's the bitterest thing in the world. You ever had smoke in your eyes? Nothing hurts more than that. Nothing hurts more. It's just the same when you have a shliach who's lazy. You send somewhere. Pepper spray. That's really, really good. You know Chuck Norris uses pepper spray to spice up his steaks. Do you know that?
Yeah.
True statement. Yiras Hashem, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Yisham Tosiv Yom Ushnos Roshayim Tiktorna. The year of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, that a person has, I'm sorry, the year of Hashem that you have, will add on days to your life. While the years of the Roshayim are shortened, they're very, very short. They're whatever he needs, and that's that. In other words, they won't be added, even if he does something good, it'll be exactly as you need, because you don't want more riches in the world. Pasuk Chav Ches, Tochel Tzadikim Simcha, the hope of the righteous, is just to be mesameach, just to have happiness. Tikvas Hashem Toved. But the hope of the Roshayim is that they die early, so they don't get punished for the sins that they haven't done yet. That's what happens by such a person. Ma'oz La'tom Derech Hashem. The way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a stronghold for somebody who is a Tom. But unfortunately, it's bad for people that are not so good. Tzaddik olam b'yamot, a tzaddik will not be shaken. Even though his faith may waver, he will not be shaken. He won't allow it to go away. He will always hold on to his, like a tree in the wind, when there's a massive storm, he'll hold on to it. Even though the tree is shaking back and forth, nonetheless, he'll hold on. But the Roshayim will never be able to live in the land, be shochein b'aretz, and mamish live as part of it. There'll be gurim b'aretz, sojourn in the land, but not be shochein. Pitzarikinuv chokma, the mouth of the righteous buds with wisdom. Lashon tapuchos tikares, but the perverse tongue, the tongue that speaks about horrible things, will have to be cut off. That's the idea. Adam sifse tzaddik yedim ratzon. The lips of the tzaddik know what is good for others. Here, pirushan tapuchos. The mouth of Rishayim is hypocritical. I don't know if I don't want to compare it, but like some people know what to say when you're in a shiva house, and some people just don't. Right, and you just say the wrong thing. I went through it myself. One time I went to a person's house who, unfortunately, a young son passed away. And I said, the mother's father passed away. And I went to the mother. We sat down. It was a couple of students from the old yeshiva program, right at Yeshurun. We sat down and I said, would you like to tell a story about your father? We had the preliminaries and whatever. And I said, do you want to tell a story? She said, no. I was taken aback. We sat in silence for the next 10 minutes. There was literally nothing to do. Eventually, we just got up and we said, Makam Yachim, and that was it. She didn't have a good relationship. I had no idea. She didn't have a good relationship with her father. She was in the Shiva, but I thought that it was a story, but no. Certain times, you have the right thing to say and the right thing
to not say anything until they start talking.
So they did. We were already talking or whatever, and then it was silent. So to break the ice, I didn't know anything about her father, so I just said, do you want to tell a story? She said, no.
Whatever. So it was a guy you knew, his mother, or sister, yeah, for her father.
It was one of the boys in the yeshiva program. His mother's father, right? And we all visited. It was like 12 of us, whatever it was. We all went together. But it is what it is. You know, it goes like that. Okay, park it out. We can do a little bit over here. I don't think we'll be able to do much. But Mosnei Mirma Tuavas Hashem. If a person has scales that are unbalanced. In other words, he's cheating in the way he's doing business. That's an abomination to God. Very few things are abominations to God. There are four things in Tanakh that are abominations to God. This is one of them. Evan Shlema Ritzono. A full weight is what Hashem wants. He doesn't want you to take a weight that is a little bit off. Even if it's 0.01, to be able to do such a thing is obviously problematic. That's not what Hashem wants. Buzz Adon. You know what else could be hinted to over here? When two people argue with one another, quite often somebody will try to bring a raya with a lie, something that he doesn't know for sure. That's called Mosnei Mirma to Avas Hashem. You're trying to win your fight by lying. That's to Avas Hashem. That's an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Could this refer to any sort of cheating or lying?
For sure.
Trying to get in a more general fashion through deceit.
Yeah, I think so. Baz Adon V'Yavo Kalon. When Zadon comes, a person who's acting benazed against the Torah itself, then there's shame and disgrace. The Tznuim, with those who are Tznua in their world, those who are very modest, Chachma. There is tremendous wisdom. What that means by tsenua does not necessarily mean just in clothing. It's tsenua in mind, how a person acts when it comes to his mind itself, the way he is when it comes to his humility and how he acts and reacts and whatever it is when it comes to that. That's the idea that it brings about something good. And we'll end with this. Tumas yesharim tanchem. The uprightness of those who are tum, who are innocent, that consoles them and guides them. Beselef bogdim. But unfortunately, the deviousness of the treacherous people, those people destroy them. It completely takes them down. It's almost as if the innocence of certain people allows them to live their lives without any problems. When a person gets very, very into it, and unfortunately is very, very tricky, and whatever it is, that will ruin his life in the end. Something will happen.
Well, you're also saying somebody, what doesn't know can't hurt, what you know can't hurt you.
It's not that bad idea. Just an innocent life. Right. You know, what's the worst thing behind it?